We've been looking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in particular recently, and the supernatural empowering to do what God's called us to do, seeing that they're these tools. And we read how God's heart, God's promise through this prophet called Joel, this Old Testament prophet, thousands of years ago, God promised, God spoke through this person and said that God says this, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons' daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. We now can see it. God is now speaking. God is now clearly speaking to us. Today we're going to look at that. How can we hear God speak? It says in that passage I just read that God was going to speak in prophecy. God was going to speak through one another. God was going to speak in dreams. And God was keeping visions. Let's pray together as we ask that God would speak to us freshly this morning. Lord, we just want to say thank you so much that you are a God who speaks. We haven't come this morning to worship a stone statue, an idol, something that can't speak. But we come to the very living God. We come to a God who desires to communicate with us, to speak into our lives. A God who has our very best interests at heart. And Lord, we're privileged this morning to be able to come to you, listen to you, and hear you speak to us. I'm asking that you'd speak freshly into my life, every one of our lives together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Does God speak through dreams? Ron Gillian was a man who had a recurring dream. And he had a recurring dream about this huge 250-foot fir tree that was in his garden. And in the dream he had, this tree kept falling over, crashing to the ground, crumpling through his house. Every time he had the dream, he'd wake up. As a result of the dream, he warned his children to keep away from that tree. He just felt there was something not quite right about this tree. But he wondered, what do these dreams mean? What is God saying to me? What's the purpose of these dreams? One day, he noticed a dead branch quite high up on the tree. So with a neighbor's help, they managed to get up there and saw off this dead branch that was kind of hanging off. As Christmas approached, the dream stopped. On Christmas Eve, he was doing his shopping out with his wife. He came home and his daughter, 9-year-old daughter, Alison, had rearranged her bedroom. And she'd been saying she was going to rearrange her bedroom for a long time now. But she just suddenly felt she must do it. And she'd moved around the bed and where everything was and moved the whole thing around. Her mum had been saying, no, put it off, wait till after Christmas. It'd be much easier when, it's a quieter time. But she just felt an urgency to do it that day on Christmas Eve, and she did. On Christmas Eve, it started to snow. The family went to church, and as the snow came down outside, Ron recalled that as he sat in the pew of that church, a traditional church, as he sat there, he started to think, I don't even believe God exists. I don't even believe God's someone real in my life. As he was there going through that church service on that Christmas Eve. It was blizzard conditions when Ron came out of the church that night, family on the way home, blizzard conditions. By the time they reached home, the snow was thick. Ron wasn't asleep for long, the whole family asleep. He wasn't asleep for long when suddenly there was a thundering crash. The old fir tree fell on their house. The daughter, Alison, was trapped in the room. She cried out to her dad, Dad, I'm stuck. All he could see was branches, pieces of ceiling strewn around. Somewhere in the mess, his daughter was crying out. Soon the rescuers arrived. Chainsaws started to get work, cutting this tree off, up into pieces. Then Ron started to pray to the God he just doubted even existed. A few hours before, he started to pray, please God, spare her life. More equipment arrived, more rescues arrived. They managed to clear the tree, and in hospital, the doctor said that his daughter would be absolutely fine. Next day was Christmas Day. Ron and his son were walking through the rubble of their house, looking at what was there, the tree and everything. And they noticed that the tree had fallen right across Allison's room. It had fallen right across. And the tree had fallen right where her bed would have been if she hadn't impulsively moved it. And just where the bed would have been was that place where they cut off the branch of that tree. And so, in the rubble, he wondered, had God been trying to warn me all along in a dream about that tree? Does God speak through dreams? We have to say, yes, God does speak through dreams, not because of this guy Ron's experience, because people could say, well, it's just coincidence, one of those things that happen. The reason we have to say, yes, God does speak through dreams, is we look through the Bible, that we see again and again God speaking to people through dreams. One of the ways God's speaking is through dreams. Even the birth of Christ, even the birth of Jesus, there, God was guiding Joseph, his father, through dreams. We read in Matthew 2 that the Lord, an angel of the Lord, appeared to Joseph in a dream. In a dream, God came and said to the father, Mary's husband, saying there, get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So even in the whole birth and time of Christ, there God was speaking in dreams. What I'm talking about this morning is relevant to each of us. Wherever we are in our spiritual journey, whether you know God in a personal way, whether you've got no knowledge of God in a personal way, that all of us here dream to a greater or lesser extent. You may not be able to remember many of your dreams. Some of you may be able to remember your dreams. But dreaming is a part of kind of our human existence. And so what we're talking about today has some relevance for each one of us. We're going to see this morning that whilst God does speak through dreams, not all dreams are from God. But that dreams that are from God are part of God's prophetic revelation, part of God's desire to communicate with you and me. And what I really want to try and just in the short time we have together this morning to look at is really to communicate the passion of the God who wants to speak to us. The God who wants to talk to you and me. You and I are important. You're special. In fact, you're so special, God wants to speak to you. In fact, you're so special, God wants to speak just to you. Now, the God of the whole earth can speak to 6,000 million people at once because he's God. But you're special. You're not just a national insurance number. You're not just a person. You're special to God. And he wants to speak to you. And part of that revelation of speaking can be through dreams. In Numbers 12, we said that it says, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself in visions. I speak to him in dreams. And this whole area of prophetic, this whole area of hearing God, is kind of caught up with visions, dreams, revelations. God wanting to speak into our lives. The God who's everywhere wanting to speak into our hearts. As you look through the Bible, as you read through the Bible has a lot to say about dreams. There's a lot in there. And this morning, I just want us to really get the bottom line of all this, is that God wants you to know him in a more intimate and a personal and a real way. And to get to know someone, you have to hear them and speak to them, be with them. And God wants to speak freshly to you today. I think God speaks to us far more than we ever realize. And sometimes we just dismiss it as our own thoughts, or, oh, it's just one of those things, or we just dismiss it, when really it's God speaking. Many, many times I believe God speaks and we miss it. And I want us to help this morning us to not miss when God speaks to us. As I said, our dreams can have meaning, but often our dreams have no meaning. Often dreams are just the process of us thinking about things that have been on our heart and mind. We've had a busy day, things have happened, and so we dream at night and the kind of outwork. Some dreams are just the outworkings of our imagination. But sometimes dreams are from God. And as we look at a different Joseph in the Bible, not Joseph who is the husband of Mary. But Joseph, way back in Genesis 40, we see this Joseph who was the son of Jacob. And he had many dreams. And whilst he was at one point in his life, in Genesis 40, we read that this man Joseph found himself in prison. He was in prison, and he was with, in Egypt, and he was in prison with the butler and the baker of the king of the Pharaoh of Egypt. And there, as he was in prison, they both had a dream that night, one night. This is what it says. Each of these two men, in Genesis 40, chapter, verse 5, each of these two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream that night. And each dream had a meaning of its own. See, there were special dreams. It wasn't just a dream about, oh, we're worried being here in prison. It was a dream with a meaning. And some dreams have a meaning. Sometimes God speaks to us through dreams. I got to know someone that lived very close to me. I lived around there in Gospel Oak. And this man became a Christian. So, and he had many, many dreams every night. And he learned over a period of time to see that God was speaking. Some of the dreams were just his imagination, which is what happened. But some of the dreams very clearly were God very, very specifically speaking into his life. Now, what we see about this person called Joseph is that when he saw a dream that came from God and that had meaning, that Joseph was able to do three things. And that's what I want us to kind of see this morning in terms of hearing God's voice and hearing what God's saying. Joseph could recognize when something was from God, when some revelation, when some dream, when some vision, when some prophecy, when some inspiration came from God, he recognized it. He can just dismiss it and say, oh, it's just a dream. Oh, it's just a thought. It's just a thought that came into my mind. He was able to recognize what was God and what was just his imaginations. And that's what something I feel God has for us to do, that we can recognize when God is speaking to us. Because God is speaking. But God wants us to learn to recognize what he's saying. Secondly, Joseph was a man that had the wisdom from God to be able to interpret what the meaning of what God's saying. So when gave him a dream. I don't know if you've ever had this situation where you wake up in the morning having dreamt. And when you woke up in the morning, you kind of think, well, what was all that dream about? Oh, my dear. If the dream was just a load of nonsense, just my own imagination, then just forget about it and go to work and have your breakfast and forget about it. But if God's saying something, if the dream is a significant, if God's saying something, Joseph had the wisdom to be able to kind of see the meaning, the significance. And again, we need that. Just as Joseph had that, we need that wisdom from God to be able to see what it is that God's saying to us. And thirdly, Joseph had the wisdom from God to know what to do. If God's speaking, God is not speaking for my entertainment. God isn't speaking just to entertain me, that I can hear God and say, that's nice. Thank you, God, I can hear you speaking, and I can go on and just go and do something else. God is speaking for my benefit. God is speaking because there's something he wants me to know, something he wants me to do. And so the wisdom to know what to do when God speaks to us and shows, that is something that we all need. And again, it's my prayer for us that we'll grow in that this morning. So these three things, there's getting some inspiration from God. Could be a little sort of whisper in the back of my mind. Could be a dream, could be a prophecy, a scripture, a revelation, something from God. The initial inspiration. And then, what does it mean, the interpretation? God, what is it he's just saying through that? Someone had a dream. If someone had a dream one night of a door opening and a person going through that door, wake up and they felt in their heart, that God's trying to say something to me. Then what a question is to go back to God and say, God, what are you saying? What is it you want me to understand? What are you trying to communicate with me about this door, this person going through? What is it? And it could be that as I wait on God, as I pray, as I seek to understand it, God shows me that there's going to be an opportunity opening up, that God wants me to be ready for the next step and to go through this next step, this next opportunity there is. And so that God's trying to show me there's something I need to be alert and ready for, some new thing. And then as I continue to pray, I say, well, God, what do I do with that? What do you want me to do about that? Okay, that's what you're showing me, God. What do I do? And then God gives me the wisdom that he wants me to pray to be ready and to be actively looking for this new thing that God's got in my life. So do you see how we get something from God that can be a picture, a revelation, some kind of something that's not very clear, and then saying, God, what does it mean, secondly, and thirdly, God, what do you want me to do about it? And often God can bring us in the middle of the night, can wake us up, we can dream about a person, And the reason God wants to, the reason why God lays that person on us, on our heart, is simply that God wants us to pray for them. They're going through a tough time. Things are difficult. And so God has laid that person on our heart for us to pray. So often that's the case, that God's wanting us to pray, waking us up and maybe wake up in the morning with that kind of burden to pray. Let's just look at Joseph for a minute or two and see what happened to him. Joseph had a dream. Now, Joseph is one of these guys who he kind of put his foot right in his mouth. He's a lovely guy, Joseph. He had a dream one night of 11 stars and the sun and the moon and then one star. So he's dreaming away. He woke up in the morning and he had this dream of these 11 stars and the sun and the moon and one star. And these 11 stars somehow bowing down. I don't know how a star bows down, but somehow these stars were bowing down. The sun and the moon were bowing down to one star. So that was a dream. And he felt it was significant. He felt it wasn't just as a result of the curry that he had the night before, but it was something. God was saying something to him. It was something significant. And so God spoke to him and said that in the future, the 11 stars represent his 11 brothers. That's what we read in Genesis 37. The 11 stars represent his 11 brothers. The sun was his dad. The moon was represented his mum. And that in the future, they would bow down to him. And he was the one star that they were bowing down to. Now, whether it was out of pride, folly, youthful, whatever, but he went and told his mum and dad and his brothers, they were not pleased. They were not pleased. Guess I had a dream last night, and guess what happened? God showed me, you're going to be bowing down to me. They weren't pleased. Because in his heart, in fact, about nearly 20 years later, indeed that did happen, that came to pass. It was a dream from God. He was showing him about something for the future. But he certainly didn't have the wisdom. He didn't have the wisdom at that stage, his understanding, to know that God wanted him just to know that, to pray about it, to have it in his heart, to keep it in his heart. It's something for the future. Rather than thinking he's got to kind of blab about it, out of pride. God speaks to me in a dream. Listen to my dream. Out of pride. And so he came unstuck. In fact, he came very unstuck. His dad told him off. In Genesis 37, his father rebukes him, says, what is this dream? Will your mother and I, your brothers, actually come and bow to the ground before you? His father was incensed. His brothers were even more incensed because a few verses later, in verse 20, they said this, come now, let's kill him. Throw him into one of these wells and say that an animal has devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. So he wasn't very wise in how he handled what God was saying to him through the dream. But years later, after many years in prison, time to reflect, time to grow up, time to mature. After many years, Joseph had a different wisdom. Years later, he was before the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, probably the most powerful person in the world at that time. And God gave the Pharaoh, Egypt, a dream, a significant dream, as a warning about things that were going to happen. And so Pharaoh had this dream, but he didn't know what it meant. It was a dream of seven fat cows. You probably recognize the story. If you've been to the musical, you'll know the song that goes with it. These seven fat cows and these seven thin cows. And these seven thin cows came and ate up the seven fat cows. And the sort of Pharaoh scratched his head thinking, goodness me, cows? I've kind of got this one. And he's really not kind of sure. And so he wasn't quite sure what to do. But what happened was Joseph had the wisdom from God to be able to help Pharaoh see what God was trying to warn him, what God was trying to say. And so when Joseph stood before Pharaoh, Joseph told him that the seven fat cows represented 7 years of abundant harvest, the seven thin cows represented 7 years of famine, and that this was God in his kindness and mercy showing him the things that were going to happen in the years ahead, warning him so he could do something about it. But then, interestingly enough, what happens is then again, Joseph, with wisdom from God, says this to Pharaoh. Let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man to put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming. Store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve to be used for the 7 years of famine that will come, so the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. You see, that's the wisdom from heaven to know what God's saying. So do you see why some of us dream and kind of think, oh, I'm not quite sure what that's all about. Just kind of just ignore and carry on. And God wants to give us the wisdom to know when a dream is from God, when a dream is from heaven, and when it's not. If it is from God, God, what are you saying? And God, from what you're saying, what do you want me to do about it? Do you want me to pray? What's your kind of thing you're trying to say to me? We've seen so far that dreams are one way God can speak to us. But as I said before, not all dreams are from God. Dreams can be from God. Read many times in the Bible, in Genesis 20, God came to this king called Abimelech. And God spoke to him in a dream, it says in Genesis 20. In 1 Kings 3, Solomon, one of the greatest kings in the whole of civilizations, God came, as we read in the book of 1 Kings, God came to this king Solomon during the night. And God said to him, ask for me whatever you want and I will give it to you. Now that's an amazing thing for God to say. That's an amazing thing that God saw in that king's heart. There was someone who God could say that to. And Solomon asked for wisdom, of course. Solomon asked God for wisdom. But it was in a dream. God spoke to him in a dream. God speaks in dreams. Also, our enemy, our spiritual enemy, the one who's against us, also, the enemy can come. And in dreams, through nightmares, many of us will have experienced terrible nightmares, fears, things gripping us in the middle of the night. Clearly not from a good God. Clearly not the God who loves us, cares for us, and wants the best for us. Clearly not God speaking to us, because the way it leaves us is unsettled, is in fear, is it a sense of hopelessness, a sense of uncertainty about the future, a sense of what's going to happen, a sense of foreboding. Clearly not God who loves us, cares for us, has our very best interests at heart speaking. But the enemy who's against us. And finally, it can be my own mind. I came across Shakespeare's words in Romeo and Juliet, where one of the speeches there talks about dreams. It says, dreams which are the children of an idle brain, begot of nothing but vain fantasy, which is thin of substance as the air and more inconstant than the wind. In the Bible, Ecclesiastes picks up that same idea, that dreams come when there are many cares. We've all experienced when we're worried about work, family, money, you kind of dream, you kind of wake up in the middle of the night dreaming, and it's just our imagination. It's not God speaking to us. It's just our imagination kind of going crazy. So how do we know if a dream's from God? I'm saying this morning that God wants to so communicate with us. How do we know if it's God speaking? Well, if you wake up in the morning and you can remember a dream that you've had, or you make it in the middle of the night and a dream you have, the first thing is if you get in a sense in your heart, this isn't just one of those dreams, but I think there's something here, there's something significant. I kind of gut feel there's something about this dream which is different. It's not just the kind of what I was worrying about and those things. It's something very specific. And the first question to ask is, does the dream line up with what the Bible says? Because the Bible is God's objective speaking to us, beginning to end. Of course, it's what God says and God does say through the Bible. And it's kind of like an objective test that we can just say, is this what God is saying? Let's just go and see what the Bible says about this. See that it lines up with what the Bible says. And it's the way we can discern. It's where we can get wisdom. It's the way we can get wisdom from God to know if it is what God is saying. We can test it against what the Bible says. Secondly, if it does line up with what the Bible says, how does it leave me feel? Does that dream I've had leave me kind of feeling a sense of anticipation and excitement about God wanting to do something? There's a kind of sense in my spirit, a sense inside, a positive sense. There's something positive about what God wants to say to me. See, one of the lovely verses in Book of 1 John, it says that God's love, God's perfect love, pushes out fear. If I wake up middle of night full of fear, that isn't God who's speaking to me. Because God wants to bring a security and a sense of his purpose and his goodness and his kindness and to leave me with that positive sense, not a driven sense of being afraid and being fearful. Next, we can ask God to say, God, I'm not quite sure what you're saying. Can you confirm? Could you speak, as I read my Bible today, can you speak to me through the Bible? Can you, can you confirm what I feel you may be saying through this dream? Could you ask someone else to come and confirm that, to speak through another person? That I can really know it is you that's saying this. It really is not just my imagination, but it's what you're saying. And lastly, do you remember that Joseph had a dream about these 11 stars bowing down? And it was about nearly 20 years before that dream, before what God was warning him about actually came to pass. And there's a timing. If God's speaking to me about some things are for me to pray because they're about the things God has in the future. See, God has our future perfectly mapped out. And God doesn't want us to come like some would go to a palm reader. Some would go to look in the astrology, in the chart, in their charts. Some would look in the newspaper. Some would go to look in a crystal ball or go to a clairvoyant or go to a medium, wanting to know about the future. My future and your future is safe in one person's hands, and that's the hands of God. And so, because of that, God will only show us what he wants us to know. There's no point us going to look and trying to find out about all these other facts. God forbids it. God strictly forbids any other means of finding out about the future except coming to him, asking God. And God will show us only what we need to know. Because God has exactly our best interests at heart. And God will show us the things he wants us to. Other things, it's not our needs, and it's not interesting to know those things. They're not necessary to know those things. We may be curious. There's something in us. There's something in all of us which is curious to know about the future. It's a natural kind of human thing. Curiosity about the future. And yet we can come to God with absolute confidence that God will show me, God will speak to me as I read my Bible, as I pray. God, who could be through dreams. Could be through prophecy. Other means God speaks in our hearts and our minds. The things I need to know about the future. But that's the kind of limit of what God wants. Interestingly, going back to Joseph, when Joseph was there with the butler and the baker, and they had these dreams about what was going to happen to them, the butler and baker said, "There's no one to interpret our dreams." They had dreams they knew were significant, but they didn't know how they were going to work out what they meant. And Joseph said to this in reply to them, he said, "Do not interpretation belong to God?" And Joseph's saying, look, God is the one who's got the future. He is the one that can, he's the one that's speaking. He's the only source. Pharaoh made the mistake of going to occult. He went to occult. He looked to magicians, looked to sorcerers, looked to those with the magic arts to try and interpret his dreams. And they couldn't do it. Had to come to someone that knew God, Joseph, who had the wisdom of God to help him understand what the dreams meant. There are a massive, massive amount of books and stuff that claim to interpret dreams and the significance of all those kind of things. And God wants us to come to him, because the purpose God is giving us a dream, if God's speaking through a dream, is that we might know him, that we might come to God. God is the interpreter of dreams. And so God doesn't want me, God doesn't want us to go to any other source, because there is really only one true source, and that's God himself. And we can come with confidence to God, and he will show us. If there's something God wants us to say, he'll show us. If there's something God's got to communicate to us, he will tell me, he will show me, and he'll confirm it to me. Listen to the experience of Daniel. Daniel in the Bible was another person like Joseph. He understood that God spoke through dreams. God spoke in different ways. And listen to what he said. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar was the powerful king of Assyria. If you go down to the British Museum and you go to the Assyrian section there, you see amazing carvings and statues of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrian Empire was just a world kind of class empire, and Nebuchadnezzar was one of the rulers of that empire, and he had dreams. His mind was troubled. He could not sleep. So what Nebuchadnezzar did is he did this. He summoned magicians, sorcerers, astrologers. And then do you know what he did? I think it's so funny. Is he said to them, right, so I know that this is going to be true and you're not making it up. I want you not only to tell me the interpretation of the dream, but I want you to tell me what it was I dreamt. And they couldn't do that. They couldn't. Because while they could, if he'd have told them something, they may have had some way of trying to make sense of it. He wanted the right answer. You see his heart. And Daniel, someone that knew God, loved God, and could hear what God's saying, came. And Daniel, when Daniel came before this amazing king Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel said, fine, I know a God who is the author of dreams and who speaks through dreams. And what he didn't do, cleverly enough, Daniel didn't just say, right, this is it. He said, I will go and ask him. And so off he went to ask God. Because he was humble enough to realize he was nothing. He was just a person like you or I. But he knew someone that did know, and that's God. And so he went and prayed and asked. And of course, God showed him. God told him what dream this king had, and showed him what it meant. And that just shows God's the whole power of how it's important to go to God in terms of asking about dreams. Just bringing our time together to in conclusion this morning, I want us just to really take away in our hearts a strong impression from what we've looked at in the Bible that God wants to speak to me. God wants to speak to you. Now you may think, I've never heard God speak. I'm not even. You may even be like the guy Ron in the story that I read right at the beginning. He found himself in church on Christmas Eve and didn't even think he was sure God existed. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're not sure God even exists. But one thing, like Ron, he kind of got the message loud and clear. But for each of us, I want to say this morning that I know God does want to speak to you. And you are important. You are significant. You can hear God's voice. And it may come as you read the Bible. In fact, it will come as you read the Bible. It may come as you sit and pray. It may come just as you walk down the street and a thought comes into your head. It may come as you sleep and God gives you the dream of some significance. Whatever different ways, God today, the God of heaven, is wanting to communicate something of his love, his goodness, and something of benefit to your life. What a wonderful God. What an amazing God. I'm astounded this morning that little old me, God's actually interested in me. God wants to speak to me, and God wants me to know things that are of benefit to me for now and for the future. That's true for me and it's true for you. I wonder if you just close your eyes for a moment while I pray. Father, thank you so much. Lord, this morning, we, Lord, have looked at this whole area of dreams as part of the picture of you speaking to us. And Lord, I thank you again that you are a God that speaks. And this morning, just as we're quiet, as we're still before you in this place, and as we've been listening and hearing, I believe you want to speak to every single person in this place. I believe there's something you have to say for our benefit now. It could just be simply that you love me, that you love someone. It could be more. Could be a profound thing about what you want, what you have for them today. It could be something for you have for the future. But just in this couple of minutes, when we're just still before you, I'm asking God, that you would come amongst us in a very powerful and real way, and that you would speak in a still small whisper in our minds and our hearts. Just speak, show us, something, anything, Lord, that you want to say to us this morning. Thank you, Lord.